Yes, sir. And welcome to The Road to Damascus, where it's not about the road, it's about the journey. And I want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of Road to Damascus. I'm your host, Brock Hendricks. And before I help introduce the people that's going to help me navigate this ship, let me tell you how you can participate with the show. You can participate by reaching us via email. That's Road to Damascus. That's Road the number 2 Damascus at iCloud.com. Or you can reach us on our social medias. We're on Instagram as well as TikTok, Twitter, and Threads. don't know how much longer TikTok's going to be around, but while it's here, we're on there. And that's Road to Damascus. That's Road the number 2 Damascus. Reach out. Tell us how much you love the show, how much you don't. Any show topics or ideas, but any and all engagement is appreciated. And now on to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce the returning champ, the great and powerful, the one, the only, often imitated but never duplicated, the sage of sage, the oracle of oracles, tongue talking, Holy Ghost filled, preaching, teaching, don't take no jive from nobody, the one, the only, Rabbi. Say what's up to the people, Rabbi.
What's up, everybody?
How are you today?
I'm pretty good. I can't complain. I won't complain.
She came in early for me today, so I appreciate her very, very much. My daughter is starting dance competition. So this is my next 2 months. Every other weekend is competition. But good luck to her and her dance troupe, Motor City Dance. Full support. Daddy loves you. And this is part of being a parent.
Absolutely. Ooh. Absolutely.
So, you know, you got to support your kids in all their endeavors.
You do.
Yes. And you know.
I do.
And you have a teenage boy.
Yes.
So it's a lot.
His teenage plans.
Right. And makes teenage plans where it's like, do you have anything you're doing tomorrow? No, Mom. You wake up in the morning. Hey, Ma, so I need you to run me.
Exactly.
Huh?
Like, when did this happen?
Right.
Well, you were asleep. Well, then it didn't happen. Right.
Exactly.
But we make it happen.
We make it happen. For sure. For sure. Even when we don't always love them, we love them.
Exactly.
So, how has God been guiding for you, Rabbi?
Oh, man. Listen, these last couple of weeks have been a struggle in a lot of ways. But He's been guiding for me by reminding me that even in the hard place, He's good. And that when you can declare in your hard place His goodness, you see it even more. So I'm learning that even when things look like they're not working out for me, they're working out for me. Because when you don't get that, and you remember that God hasn't forsaken you, He hasn't forgotten about you, it gives you a deeper revelation of who He is. It gives you a closeness to Him that you might not otherwise have if everything was just going smooth. So I appreciate the rough places. I think there's a scripture that said, it's good that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Nobody thinks of affliction when it happens as, oh, this is going to be teaching me how to learn. Your mind doesn't
you
automatically
get out of
go
it.
There. Right. Exactly. But in this space, in this place, I appreciate what would ordinarily look like problems, that they don't look like problems. They look like opportunities.
So you almost like Paul and he locked up. Hey, I might be a prisoner, but I'm a prisoner for the Lord. And I'm still going to be preaching this thing in the jail.
Absolutely.
And then I look up and the jail door just opened.
It just opened. Because this is the space where people get to and you go like, forget it. Or I quit. You know what? I knew it wasn't. Nope. We're not doing that.
Mm-mm. And the 7-day journey turned into 40 years.
Yeah. But I'm crossing over.
On dry land.
Believe it.
For sure, for sure. Well, that's beautiful. So how's God been guiding for me? I think on the last show I had mentioned about, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, just the death and all of these experiences that have been around me. But I had a bit of a epiphany slash revelation is to just be appreciative of the people that you do have. I think that so often that we think about the people we lost and the people who are no longer with us, that we don't often appreciate the people that we do have and how they pour into us and how they help us and how they sustain us. And, you know, do you have somebody that when you are feeling down that you can call? Do you have somebody that can challenge you? Do you have somebody that you can laugh with, that you can cry with, that you can embrace? You know, even for the people, and I know, like, Shonda, you no longer have your mom or whatever, but even the ones who still have your parents, are you appreciative of your parents? Even if your parents, like, I've tried to visit my grandmother once a week, and she's has dementia, low level, but still has it. And it's like, but I still appreciate that she's here.
Right.
Because one day I won't be able to go and see her.
Absolutely.
So you just still have to appreciate those people. So God just put in into me to share that with you all. Just be appreciative of the people that you do have, because when they aren't here, or when you aren't here, just know that you were appreciated for the time that you were in somebody's life.
Absolutely.
So that's how God has been guiding for me. So I just thank him for all the revelation that he gives me. So today's topic. So I always say, if you got a show idea, send it in.
Right.
So I had somebody reach out to me, and I'll read exactly a road they wrote. Road to Damascus topic. Do Christians really want to be like Christ? Or are they only Christians to escape going to hell? Because how many Christians actually live like Christ versus how many Christians just get saved and think that is enough? So, when you hear that, Rabbi, what do you immediately think?
I think there's a mixture of both. I think that there are people who identify as Christian because it's the end thing to do, but they have no desire whatsoever to be like Christ or to live like Christ. Excuse me. I think there are people who want to be a part because they don't want to go to hell. It's the fear of hell that has brought them there.
Let me buy the ticket.
Yeah.
And then I'll be back. And you just let me know when they call to the train, I'll be close enough to hear.
My concern is that they both will be lost. Because if you're only here because of fear, if you only run in because you're afraid of hell, but not in love with Jesus, you won't stay, because fear won't last like that. It won't keep you. It'll chase you in, but it won't keep you there. And if you are here just proclaiming it and not living it, you have no power. You are powerless against your own self and desires. You are powerless against your enemy, and you have no love for Christ, and you still won't make it. Authenticity is the only thing that will bring you in and keep you in, the authentic relationship building. It doesn't matter how afraid you are. Look at all the things that we have been afraid of in our lives, and you get over it, or you don't remain afraid. Like, I was deathly afraid of spiders. I still don't like them. Now, I still don't like it. And if it's one in the car, you can have the car.
Get to swerve.
You know, because I don't like them, but if it's a spider in the house, I'm not going to leave my house. I'm just going to kill it. And for all of you who feel like, oh, catch it and let it escape. No, no.
I ain't doing no catch and release.
You know what I mean? There are people who have, you know, fear of dogs. And, you know, they just avoid, you know, dogs. And you invite them over. Hey, you got a dog? You got to put your dog up. I'm not. Fear is not going to make you dive deeper into a relationship. It's going to run you away. You'll be looking at it from a distance. You'll be sitting in church and still have no relationship with God just because you're afraid of going to hell. Won't work.
So a couple of things that I think when I got the text message, or when I think of the overall question that they're asking, knowing that this person is the is a PK, a pastor's kid.
That changes the game.
I should have mentioned that to you.
You should have led that.
So, all right, before I say what I got to say, now that I've said that, how do you feel even more about it? Just telling you that part, because I didn't tell you that part.
You know, for me, when a PK asks that question, it's because they've seen something.
Okay.
And it's normally because they see something in, up close and personal.
Got you. Like okay, that. Got you. So I'll say this. I know that, what's the expression? The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yes.
And I believe that at there was a time where there was a lot of hell, fire, and brimstone preaching,
mm-hmm.
that they tried to use that to draw people in. I heard Tim Ross tell a story of when, before he gave his life to Christ, he said his uncle, who was a well-known preacher, they was visiting the church, or his uncle came to their church to preach, and his uncle, at the beginning of service, called him and his brother out. Stand up, you two. Y'all need to come up here right now and give your life to God, or hell gonna bust wide open, or something like that. He looking at him and he said, because I'm literal, thinking like, so if I don't get saved today, hell gonna be bust wide open. You know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. the way he was coming at him was like, you need to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
So what you gonna do? So he said, his brother used to look at him like, man, if you go, I'ma go. So he said, he just sat right back down. And then his aunt, the pastor's wife, no, you don't. Right now, you know. And it's like, but you're using hell as the mm-hmm. impetus right. to try to get these two young men to give their life to Christ.
Right.
And I think it used to be a lot of that. Do I think hell should be preached and talked about? Absolutely. But not in a way of fearing people to convert themselves, to give right. their lives over. No, this is a reality
right.
that can happen. But I'm not telling you this so you can get up here and feel convicted, because that's only going to last for a season.
Right, until the service is over.
Yeah, because everybody was scared for Y2K, and them churches was all filled for watch night service.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you walked out of church, and
next
the,
day,
and the computers wasn't, planes wasn't,
yeah,
food was okay.
People went right back.
Oh, okay. I guess that Y2K was a little bit of nothing. You see what I'm saying? So fear only.
But how do you take? Now, let me say.
Okay.
I was a part of that. That generation, we grew up with that.
Right.
You know, where hell was preached more than the love of Jesus.
For sure. Absolutely.
So how do you take hell and use it as the preaching mechanism for a relationship building block with Jesus?
You're asking me, how do you do that?
I'm just saying, this is what they did.
Oh, yeah.
They took it, they put it out there, and this is why you should come to Jesus. I'm scared of him.
Right, yeah.
Now but I'm terrified of him.
But it was more fear of Satan and hell than love of Christ. Mm-hmm. And when you do something out of
me, I'm going to challenge that.
Okay, go ahead.
Because they didn't, nobody feared Satan.
Okay.
They didn't teach you to fear Satan. It was just hell.
Okay, it was just hell.
It was just hell.
Well, I'll give you
the brimstone.
When I got baptized, I was baptized at a larger church. I don't want to say the church. I'll tell you off the line. Okay. I was baptized 2 years before I gave my life to Christ. But they were doing an illustrated sermon mm-hmm. to hell and back.
Okay.
And watch
you got
night
the same story.
It was watch night service, and I'm watching this thinking, I'm like, bro, I need to go because I'm not. Trying the way they, I mean, this illustrated sermon was just like, And you just, and when you grew up with that, mind, when you grow up with that and now you getting that video, because I said last show, my grandfather, he watching right. what he watched back Jack Van Imp, and it's like, hey, look, I got some stuff I'm trying to do tomorrow, right. so I'm not trying to hear no end time prophecies
right.
that's going to throw me off.
Right.
So that's when I got baptized, was that night. It was a watch night service. So it was like, nah. But then maybe 2 months later, I'm right back to
yeah,
doing what I was doing.
Right.
Because it was only a fear
mm-hmm.
that caused me to do that.
Yeah.
So I agree with you that it wasn't about being fearful or safe. I'm just talking about, but his whole just entity in the hell, but it was more like the fire and brimstone burning for eternity and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. So I believe that there were people who joined for that reason, who grew up. But I also believe that sometimes you can get into something for the wrong reason and end up finding a relationship in that. So I would compare that almost to like an arranged marriage, where it's like, you don't know this person.
Right.
You ain't had a relationship with them,
mm-hmm.
but now you're being forced to marry them. And now you end up finding out this is your best friend. This is somebody who's loving, caring, takes care of you, answers your needs emotionally, physically. I'm just using.
No, I agree.
Oh, okay.
I'm agreeing with
okay.
you. I honestly think that Eastern culture of arranged marriage is better than this Western culture of being engaged 6 years and then you getting married and then you end up divorced 6 months later.
Right.
Because you go in knowing, I don't know this person.
Right.
We have to talk about everything.
And get to know each other.
We get to know each other. You become my best friend. And then I have fallen in love with you, discovering who you are and discovering who I am with you.
Instead of coming with the lie up front.
Exactly.
And the persona of yep. who I think
like,
you
oh,
want.
I think I know this person. And then you get married and then all the guards go down and you realize, I didn't know.
At all.
I don't want to be tied to this forever. And even though we have lived in this house together for 12 years, now that we're married, we can't stay married 1 year because you realize all the things that were false and all the lies and all the things you didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So, absolutely. Yeah. So I look at it from that standpoint. So, but there's absolutely a lot of people who don't want to live like Christ. There are folks who've been saved 50, 60, 40, 30 years
yeah.
that don't live like Christ.
Yeah.
There were folks who were sitting next to you while you were tarrying for the Holy Ghost that was just as mean, mm-hmm. just as crotchety, yeah. just as disrespectful, just as self-righteous as anybody else.
Yeah.
But also with those people, they deserve the love, the grace, the mercy because of how they were raised, what they were believed, and what they were taught. So what we have to do, and it's hard because I see it all the time, mm-hmm. is we have to reintroduce mm-hmm. Christ to them and let you know. And this kind of piggybacks the last show. We have to change the system because mm-hmm. the system is what has allowed a lot of this to take place.
Right.
And when you talking about changing the system, that's when you're going to get the most pushback. That's when you're going to get the most criticism. But you have to be nuanced and understand, even in your nuance, people aren't going to understand. Because if I keep giving disclaimers for everything I say, Shonda, if every time I say, well, I don't mean it this way, but, or you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm literally watering down my own argument. I don't like to water down my own argument.
Right.
Jesus didn't water down his parables. He said, to he who has an ear,
let him hear. Yes.
He ain't say nothing. Hey, why do I feel like if it was good enough for Jesus, we going back to Christ-like,
mm-hmm.
why do I have to water my same revelation down
right.
to make you comfortable? You get what I'm saying? You kind of understand what I'm like, bro, you watering down your own argument before you start. Imagine if Jesus said, I'm going to give y'all the parable of the workers in the field. But I mean, it's kind of hypothetical, but it, you know, it just roll with me.
Right.
You know, because I know some of y'all, if you worked all day, you want more. And
you deserve more.
Right. But you get what I'm saying? But I'm still going to tell you the parable so y'all can kind of get where I'm going. They'll be looking like.
So am I to believe this or no? Now I'm confused. And this is how people who talk about being Christian and don't live it leave people who are watching them. You leave them confused about the message of Jesus. You leave them confused about the life and the lifestyle and the expectations, because there are expectations. There are expectations. If you name the name of Jesus, there are expectations, and they don't go away just because you're not living right or you decide you want to do something different. The expectations remain the same. It remains the same. Listen, if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, that they won't be able to receive the truth. That is not something that we can change and alter so that we make it seem like you gon' get it. No, you may not. If it's hidden, it's hidden to them who are lost.
Absolutely. But I think within her question, I will say this. We have done a poor, and I've said, we've done a, when I say we, I'm talking about the church, the body, has done a poor job of discipling, because there are basic tenets that everyday Christians, people who try to live like Christ, can't even speak to and talk about. There are basic tenets, Shonda. Most people can't tell you why they believe what they believe. When you are, if you were challenged right now as a Christian about, and this is why I want to do a show, which I'm going to try to get an expert on, about apologetics. Are you able to tell people where's the Trinity at in the Bible? Because these are the questions they're going to ask you. When you go talk to a Jehovah's Witness, and when they tell, oh, I believe in the redemption of Christ. But then when you get into John, you ask them, so who is Jesus? That's when you start to see the difference. Mm-hmm. So I think we've brought people to Christ, but we haven't introduced them to Christ. So it's like, I'm a disciple to you and tell you all these good things. But then it's like, but what happens, Shonda, is you tell me all these good things, but then the minute I'm disappointed, I'm ready to walk out. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't tell you to reign with him, you have to struggle with him. I didn't get you to understand that his life and the suffering is where, like you just talked about at the beginning, that in that suffering is where you get the real, true relationship, because he never leaves you or forsake you.
Right.
You don't feel alone when you're in that empty place. He's there.
He's there.
When you, just like the famous poem, The Footsteps, mm-hmm. It wasn't you that was walking. It was him that was carrying you. His burden is light and his yoke is easy. And we don't give that to people.
Right.
We don't. We don't give that to people. So I think that there is a lot of misdiscipling in that as well. Because at the end of the day, hell is real. And I don't want to go to hell, but that's not why I'm doing what I do.
Right.
That shouldn't even be a prerequisite, because at this point, once I punch my ticket, I don't give hell a second thought. Now my thoughts are towards him. My thoughts are towards growing. But we have to understand that everybody grows differently. Everybody gets revelation differently. And some people are okay just being okay. Some people don't want to, no questions. I'm going to question this. He too high to get over. He too low to go under. And it's like, no, we have to give everybody space. If you came to me, Shonda, and was like, B, I've been having some trepidations about some things, and I'm questioning my faith. I'm not about to sit here and be looking at you like, she done lost her. No, where are you at? Let's exactly. Have this conversation.
What are you questioning?
It's okay to question.
Right. You're going to encounter something that's going to bring up some questions. You're going to, one of the things I love about us is our realness. You're going to encounter some things. You're going to be sitting in a hospital room with somebody you love, a parent, a grandmother, a child, and you're going to be beseeching the Lord with everything in you to raise them up. Sometimes he will. Sometimes he won't. When you have cried and prayed and you feel like you have touched heaven with your prayers and they still slip away into glory, you got questions. You're going to have some questions. When you are depending on your job and they let you go and it seems like without cause, you're going to have some questions. Because there are some things we expect. We have some expectations of God. Even when we don't live according to the plan of God, we got expectations and things that we
minimum requirement.
Yeah. You know, and when he doesn't, we start to question. There are going to be some things that discipleship doesn't equal cloning. And I think this is one of the spaces where.
I like that. Let me hit that. I like that. That was a good one. That was a subtle but good gem. Because that's true. We looking for even what we do that with our kids.
Right. You can't make them into you. You know, people come. Listen, I was talking to my sister the other day and I said, you know what? I was like, I'm so happy that I have finally discovered me. I have finally discovered me. I was going through my closet and I was taking out some things and I was like, man, this doesn't fit who I am right now. So let's take that out. I took out shoes and I took out clothes and I was looking at what was left and I had bought some things and I was like, my eyes just kind of welled up. I'm like, this is me. It has nothing to do with anybody else. It has nothing to do with what I think people are going to like or how they're going to judge. This is me. Discipleship doesn't equal cloning. And when people come into the church and your first goal is to try to make them be like you so that you feel like they're saved, you have already lost it. And this is how we create other Christians who have problems with themselves, who have problems with God. Because God's not about making clones. Perfection is not a thing. We can't lock into anything. You can't be locked into anything because you don't know what God's going to do. We have to be willing to pivot at any time, at any place, about anything.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter who the person is in your life, you have to be willing. We say, search me, Lord. Search my heart. If you find anything that shouldn't be, if you find anybody, if there's anybody around me who doesn't mean me any good, move them out of my way. If you find anything in my heart that shouldn't be there, then take it out. But we have a list of things that we don't want God to touch because we good with these things.
Right. These foibles I'm okay with.
This is good.
Right.
A year later, you done prayed this prayer. A year or more later, people start leaving. Things start moving. Stuff starts happening. And we become angry Christians, we become angry with God. Say, like, but you remember, you said, God, search me. If you find anything that shouldn't be, it's like, well, I found some things that shouldn't be. I found some things that are not going to be good for you where you're going, so I moved them. Say, like, yeah, but you moved the things that I liked. I didn't want you to touch these, but these are the ones that need to move. All I'm saying is, yes, there are Christians who don't want to be like Christ, but they identify as Christians.
Well, like you said, it's at this point, we need to come up with another term because everybody calling themselves Christian.
Yeah.
And, everybody. You know, I mean, it's just literally just, so. Yeah, it's just like, what? Hey, I'm a disciple. I'm a follower.
What, a believer.
Right.
Jesus,
whatever, because everything is falling down to just being called a Christian. But continue.
Yeah. We really have to consider all the things that happen. And in that relationship, you know, why do you feel like, you know, why are you afraid? Why are you here but not here? You know, if you here but not here, you here for a reason. Because there are other places that you could be. Why are you here?
Right.
You may as well get the full benefit of being here if right. you're going to be here.
Absolutely. And back to the statement, being a PK and seeing the thing, because PKs are privy to conversations mm-hmm. that other people aren't privy to.
Not only are they privy to conversations that other people aren't privy to, they have a front row seat into the life of our pastors.
Right. that we don't have.
That we don't have.
They get to see the foibles. They get to see the if you think your pastor don't smoke, they see him lighting up a cigarette in the backyard while he think they're the kids asleep.
You think they don't cuss?
Right.
They see it.
Right. All of the stuff that and the stuff that they chide their people for. The things that you done seen them call people up to the front and disassociate them for.
Right.
They ain't disassociating themselves for doing this stuff at home.
Exactly.
So you get to see all of that. But the thing that you have to also understand is a lot of people are a product of their trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we, as especially in the Black community, have not given the space to understand that there are people who are mighty men and women of God who love him, who treasure him, who are desiring a life after him, but have not dealt with their traumas. Mm-hmm. So they are still preaching, teaching, exalting, exegeting from a place of trauma.
Right.
They're still giving you bits of their trauma when they're up there.
Yeah.
And if they don't address their traumas, and maybe they were traumatized by a pastor who preached hell. So I'm going to preach hell. And then when I preach hell, I'm preaching it to you to make you convert. Because that's how I was converted.
Mm-hmm. Or I'm telling you there isn't one.
Right.
Because I was traumatized by the knowledge that there was.
By the knowledge that there was. So we have to also. So a lot of this is me saying this is why Jesus doesn't put limits on who we love.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say, love this person. Love, he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Right.
He didn't say your Christian neighbor.
Nope.
He didn't say your Black neighbor, your white neighbor. He didn't say your Jewish neighbor. You have to love everybody.
Right. Love your enemy.
And understand that there are people, again, well-intentioned, but they haven't addressed the things that they have on them.
Mm-hmm.
And as you being privy to all the things that you've been privy to, and maybe being frustrated or maybe being unsatisfied with some things, that's where your relationship with Christ needs to come in. You need to step away from what your parents have instilled in you and seek after him for yourself.
Right.
If you're having questions about your own faith and they told you you should never question your faith, I'm telling you it's okay to question your faith.
Right.
I'm telling you it's okay.
You need to.
Because if you don't question it, you'll end up in a space where you're frustrated, where you're ready to leave. But if you are questioning it and saying, God, I'm questioning you, give me revelation. Just like you said when he asked this list and search me, the same thing that he did to search you is the same revelation he will begin to give you to show you who he is and what he can do.
Yes.
But you have to believe that, because sometimes being a PK, you aren't given that ability to question.
You aren't given the freedom to question.
Right.
Because growing up in the house as a PK, you're told what you're going to believe, and this is what you're going to show to the people.
Right.
I don't care what
you're going to sit in the front row or the back row. Hello? And you're going to smile and you're going to pretend.
You're going to do this.
Right.
I hate the phrase fake it till you make it. Right. I hate that. I hate that, because most people get stuck in the cycle of faking it. They never make it because they become so good at faking it.
Absolutely.
And once people believe your fakeness, you're not about to switch it up. It becomes harder for you to be authentic when you have perfected because you being fake.
Right. You done faked it so much.
Yeah, you believe it now.
Right. Is no longer, what's the real?
Exactly. But you should question it. You should have questions. You have to have conversations with God. Give us this day our daily bread. How are you going to get your daily bread if you don't go and sit and eat? You got to ask questions. You reading all this stuff that you don't understand, and you asking somebody who doesn't understand.
And you begin to have itching ears.
Right.
And then when you're itching ears, somebody come and scratch. You're
going to find somebody who has the exact scratch for your itch.
Right.
You got to ask the questions.
Because I'd rather go to God with my itching ears and let Jesus scratch them. Yeah.
And I can guarantee you,
he going to scratch them.
And you ain't going to like it. You're not going to like some of the scratches.
But he going to draw you closer to him as he's scratching.
Right. Because you know it's in love.
Right.
It'll be love.
But it is true that people serve for whatever reason they serve. Hey, the man on the cross, for whatever reason he confessed to Jesus, mm-hmm. maybe he would, because when you staring death in the face, so if I'm staring death in the face and this man next to me been claiming to be the Messiah, mm-hmm. hey, I don't know what's on the other side of this crucifixion.
Right.
But if you are who you say you are, just remember me.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Listen, imagine this. Imagine you're a thief and you're hanging on the cross. They done drug you down here. You a thief, you know you a thief. You're not being drugged down here willingly. You're not cooperating. You saying some things. You fighting.
Right.
You know, you trying to get out. You kicking and scratching. You probably saying some words that not pleasant. But now you up here. They done wrangled you up.
Right.
They got you up here. You see this man coming because you already up here. You see this man coming. They done beat him half to death. He has said not a word. They're nailing him.
He ain't cussing. Him. He ain't fussing.
He ain't arguing. None of that.
They made him carry his own cross. Right. My cross was up here waiting for me.
They put him up here between the two of you. And he says, forgive them because they don't know what they do. Hey, listen, fella. Whatever it is you got, I want that.
So
when you get where you go, remember me.
Just remember me. Put in a good word.
We know people who are different. You know, when it's something, it's different. When they get in the same test that you're in and they respond differently. It's something coming off them that's different. They don't look the same. They don't sound the same. You know when you encounter somebody who was in relationship with Jesus. You it's some about them that's different.
Right.
You want to talk to them. They just want to talk to you and somebody like, you get some light on you or right. something that's just different. I want to be a part of that. You want to be around it.
Right.
Same way when it's different. You don't want to be around it. I don't want to talk to you. The sound of your voice irritates me. You know when that energy is bad. It's, oh, and let me hurry up and get out of here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they knew who he was. They knew. People in that watching him carry that cross, the man who helped him when he dropped it, they knew.
Right.
They knew who he was. But you know what this question reminds me of?
What's that?
It reminds me of how they how people used loneliness and sex back in the day to get married.
I didn't elaborate. Tell
you it's better to marry than to burn. You know, if you don't get married, you're going to be lonely. If you don't get married by a certain age, you're going to be lonely the rest of it. Fear of being lonely.
Oh, yeah. Fear. Because we didn't turn marriage into an idol.
Yeah. So we have a bunch of people who got married way too fast.
Way too young.
Yeah.
To people they didn't love.
Right.
Just so they can have sex.
Right. Or so they would have somebody to play checkers with.
Right.
To have, so when we have couples night, you get invited or you don't show up places by yourself. Listen, taste.
Oh, your jobs wouldn't hire, promote you.
Exactly.
Because you weren't married. Oh, he's not a family guy. Or they don't give you the same raise as your coworker.
Exactly.
Because your coworker got single. A wife, a kid.
Yeah.
And he needs that extra 10 grand a year where you ain't got a family. So he make, y'all do the same job. He make 100, you make 90.
Yeah.
Because he got a family.
Yeah. For me, it's all in the same vein. We use the polar opposite of a thing to draw people into that thing. And then we want them to stay in it and fall in love with it. But you didn't bring me in here with love.
You
brought me in here with fear.
Fear. And fear is not of God.
It's not. So it's I got married because of fear.
I
had kids because of fear. We didn't build this life out of fear. We didn't build it.
And
out
now
of
I'm
love.
Scared. And now this person hates me. I hate them. They beat me.
And I'm scared to leave.
Because I'm scared to be alone.
Yeah. It's the same thing in church. Sometimes we bring people in because they are afraid to go to hell. Now they're in here, they're afraid to get involved in anything. They're afraid to really be themselves. They're afraid to be vulnerable. They're afraid to build relationships. And they're afraid to leave.
But if you get introduced to a God that says my burden is light and my yoke is easy, if you get introduced to a God that says with loving kindness will I draw thee.
Yes.
When you get drawn in like that, when you get drawn in and you're vulnerable with him, he'll be vulnerable. I mean, ain't nobody else. If you ain't going to be vulnerable with nobody else, be vulnerable with him.
Ooh, when you can encounter that love, when you get hit,
when a peace real love that only he can give you, then you sitting there. So at that point, it ain't no fear. So when me and you come up here and say what we say on this podcast, it's because we ain't got fear.
Right.
Because we are bold in knowing who we are in him and who he is in our lives. Mm-hmm. So I can say these things boldly and not be ashamed. I can sit here and tell you that hell don't cross my mind because it ain't an option for me. And it ain't been an option for 25 years.
Right.
What I'm trying to do is bring people to him. Well,
I had a 7-year stretch.
Oh yeah, well we all had a stretch. Well, I had a stretch. No, I
didn't want to go to sleep because hell was the main option.
You had a 7-year stretch. Where you was like, I want to get in a car accident.
I was afraid to go to sleep for a while.
Somebody robbed me. Hey, don't kill me, right? Let me repent.
Listen,
before you rob me.
Hold on, Lord.
Let me repent right now.
You know what I mean?
Remember me, Jesus. This day.
We need y'all to know.
Like, oh no, hey, but that's vulnerability and that's honesty. Yeah. We need people to be honest.
Yeah.
To let people know. Oh no, this ain't been a straight.
No, there's no straight line. You know, left at Albuquerque.
Hey, the train came off the tracks and we had to fix it and get it
derailed.
Right.
Wrecked it.
That's right. You watch the movies and the train tracks to fail and the carton we had to get the luggage back on and
6-7 cars over in the ravine.
Yeah, and them cars can stay there because they weren't meant to be there anyway. But you know, we got it polished up.
Yeah,
and sent the train right back on its way.
Exactly.
But it ain't been it's been 25 years, but it ain't been the whole 25. It was a couple detours along the way. I stopped at a couple rest stops, and you know what happened at rest stops. So I'm just leave it at that. But
it's been 34 years, man. 33.
30,
October. Yeah, this year, 34.
August would be 25 for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it hasn't. But again, even in that, you are honest to say, you know, hey, I had a moment where I walked and was whatever I wanted to do, I was doing it.
Yeah.
And like you said, and that's the thing is, it's one thing to kind of be raised in it in your family, but you don't know it for yourself. But when you didn't fully gay yourself and now you start to do what you want to do, them thoughts be hitting different because you really be like, you be scared. You be driving home like, no, I'm about to die right now. Like, everything just be going through your mind. He going to take me in my sleep tonight. Jesus.
Man, I have had like almost a low-key panic attack. Just feeling like, what if I die tonight? Oh, let me get up.
Right.
Now I got to walk until I don't feel like that. Like, not like you can't just hit the floor.
Right.
But I felt like if I was up.
Right.
My chances were better.
Right. Well, yeah. We look at all those things. I can't even get on the freeway. I'm going to take side streets. Right. There'll be accident on the freeway.
Take me an hour to get where I'm going. But it's okay.
It's okay because I was made it safe and sound.
Yeah.
But you know, that's that flesh wanting what the flesh want.
Yeah.
But no, I like your analogy about marriage because we did do that. Mm-hmm. We feared people. And so at the end of the day, this really comes down to a fear thing. And the Bible says he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of peace, power and a sound mind. And the thing we have to understand is you will not have that sound mind when fear is involved. Why am I serving him? And the minute you get a little shake, you like, oh, I'm out of this. The minute somebody say something to you, when it's fear, Shonda, the minute any little discomfort, any of that, oh, I can't do this no more. This ain't for me. And then these be the people who all of a sudden join the 5%ers, join the Hebrew Israelites, join these other faiths, and they railing on Christians.
Yeah.
oh no, they I was here and I was there, and Christians this and Christians that and all this other stuff. And it was like, not all Christians, those Christians didn't perform well. Those Christians didn't disciple to you well. Those Christians. So again, to the PK, it's okay to be in a season of questioning things. It's okay to be in a season of frustration. But just know that he wants you to eventually come back to him. Just like the prodigal son. He ain't going to sit there and make no fuss and all of that. Just come on back.
Right.
Whatever you did while you was gone, is he ain't even asked.
Yeah.
It was just like, my son is coming. Hey, prepare a feast.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't asked you what you did because he already know what you did. So that would be my closing. You have anything else you want to add real quick, Rabbi?
Yeah. Whether we do things, whether we are introduced through love or whether we are introduced through fear, all of our insecurities come to the surface. When real love hits you, all of the insecurities come to the surface. When fear hits you and grips you, all of your insecurities come to the surface. The only difference is when it's love, you have help with that. You have somebody there with you to address all of your insecurities and to show you, I still love you no matter what. Doesn't matter that you have this or that you've done this. I chose you because of this. Amen. And that. And I'm going to use all of these things, and I'm going to get a greater glory out of you because you have those things. These imperfections are your superpower. But when fear is the ethos, you don't have any help for those insecurities. You don't have any help for the aches and pains. All you have is more fear. Fear gives you more fear to be afraid of, and love gives you more love to spread around.
Absolutely. Like, even when you talk about these phobias, you mentioned you have an arachnophobia.
Yeah.
But like, imagine agoraphobe to the point they don't want to leave a house, Shonda.
Yeah. You can't leave out of your door because you're afraid of people.
Like, I couldn't imagine. But fear has gripped you to that point.
Mm-hmm. And fear is going to always be looking for another area to grab hold of. Just like love. Love will always be looking for more space to expand. You just get to decide which of those you're going to allow to rule.
Amen. Amen, amen. And with that, we'll go to this. You know what that sound is for. The block is hot. The block is hot. I know you got something today, Rabbi. I know you do.
I really can feel it.
You got something. it's something every week going on. So I know you got something.
You're right. It's something every week going on. But I haven't been
indulging.
Yeah, I haven't been indulging.
Okay. Well, I'll be the resident. The resident block is hot. So, you know, I'm always on the YouTubes and, right. And the news and all this other stuff. And my frustration is really, my frustration, Shonda, is really within this space of the podcasting, internet, YouTube space. That is causing division in our community.
Okay.
So this is more like for our black listeners, this part. The conversations that they have, Shonda, weekly, it's the same conversation every week. And I expect people to have these conversations that want to boost their numbers because they might be small time podcasts and they're trying to blow up. So if we had these conversations, these are the conversations people are having. So we draw them in. But when there are people that you kind of put a little respect on their name and they having these conversations on their podcast, and you just be like this, Shonda. And I ain't even just talking about church people. I'm just talking about podcast, because I listen to a lot of podcasts, different. Not every pod. I listen to sports podcasts. I listen to pop culture podcasts on top of the Christian podcasts that I listen to. But it is getting frustrating to me within our community that we just had the same kind. Who should pay 50-50, husbands and wives? And it's just like, listen, I got an idea. Do what works for you and your relationship. How about that? That's a novel idea. Instead of listening to what everybody else saying. I got a bunch of single folks telling folks how to make their relationships work. Right. All y'all single. All y'all. But you gonna tell me. Okay, cool. But it's like these conversations and these expectations. And it's just like, oh my goodness. It's just frustrating for me. And it's like, can we stop? There's more to it. It's like black film. Like, we got to the point where we got frustrated with the murder and the gang or the slave movie.
Yeah.
There is more to us. Definitely. So when you see a movie like The Best Man or The Brothers or whatever the movie, when they portray us as professionals and rom-com, like, where's the black romantic comedies? We love romance. We love to love. So when you get movies like Two Can Play This Game and things like that, like, are they a little cheesy? Yeah, but at least they're portraying us in professional settings with
fully clothed with
silly ideas of love and all that other stuff, instead of we living in the ghettos and shooting everybody and murdering, or we all just slaves and every movie is a slave epic. And no, we are fully formed people.
Right.
So can we have fully formed ideas and fully formed conversations?
Right.
We feed into the stereotypes that they have for us, and then get mad when they talk about us being in those stereotypes.
Right. Right. Like, you don't realize that you were just in this movie.
Right.
Or you
don't call me a show pony when I got on the hoofs and the hair. You look, you dressed in. Appearing to be a show pony, but don't call me a show pony.
Right.
Okay, well, whatever you want to call yourself.
I just see what you're doing.
So go in and shuck and jive or whatever. So that is my frustration this week on The Block Is Hot. So just more of let's be better, black people.
Yes,
please.
Yes.
Let's just be better. And I'm not one of those people that generalize all of us, because we are all fully formed people, we're individuals, but we still live in a community that is judged by the mistakes of a few. So when y'all out here having these conversations, they're just like, no, I'm done with them.
Right.
So that is my getting that off my chest with this week's The Block Is Hot. So great show this week, Rabbi. Great show. Appreciate the listener who sent that. Hope that was able to bless you and maybe answer some questions. And if you have any more questions or feedback, you know, feel free to reach out to us or whatever. So you ready to close this thing out?
Yeah, you know, I always hate for us to end, but yeah.
Hey, my grandmother always says to my aunt, are you leaving me? She says, no, I'm just going home.
Right.
So we ain't leaving, y'all. We just going home.
Right, right.
So are you leaving me? No, I'm just going home.
And if I'm not mistaken, this is show 99?
This is show 99. So the next show will be show 100. And hopefully we can have some big things planned. So that's what I'm working on right now.
Maybe he'll.
Before we close, because we kind of talked about it a little bit, but I just want to start prepping the listeners, because I'm going to do a special episode for this. But the rabbi has a book coming out. I know she doesn't like these type of things. We will be having more information when that is available, but it will be coming very, when I say soon, it ain't one of those like in a month or 2 months or 3 months, right, unless the publisher keep playing games. But right, hopefully in the next couple of weeks,
days,
that we'll be talking about the release. You'll see something on our socials. I'll be talking about it on the podcast, where we'll actually have a whole show dedicated, because I was privileged enough to read the book early. So I'm just waiting now for the book to come out so I can have my personal signed copy of the book. It's called What If We Win? It is a beautiful, beautiful book. When it does come out, I'll post the review that I gave to Shonda, talking about the book. But God is truly using her and blessing her. So in this season, I just want y'all to remember that she started on this show. So when y'all see her on Oprah Book Club, and when y'all see her on with the Perrys or on Tim Ross show, just know this was the first podcast she was on, chatting it up with me. So I'm proud of you, Rabbi. The book is I read it several weeks ago, but she did an excellent job. And like I said, God has truly blessed her, and she's been a blessing to me, a blessing to all the other people. But proud of you.
Thank you.
Just want to bring that up. But it's called What If We Win? And that will be dropping very soon.
Days.
It should have been a couple of weeks ago. We ain't gonna get into all of that. But days away from what I am professing now to be a New York Times bestseller.
I received that.
Receive it all. Cause you about to get to the milk and honey. The wilderness is, you done been in the wilderness for a minute. This is all right, I'm ready for the milk and honey. I'm ready.
This one's,
we are well able
to take the land.
To take the land.
Yes.
And you've taken the land. So, and God is a rewarder of those who faithfully and diligently seek and do the things that he's called us to do. And you've done that. All right. So go ahead, close it out.
Whew. All right. I want to close with this. We're talking about Christians. You know, do we really want to be, you know, Christians or just escape hell? We've talked about discipleship that doesn't equal cloning. We've talked about starting things off in love and fear. But let me say this. Be real in whatever it is you do. Don't be fake. Always be authentic. Don't be sitting in church with your heart just full of the world, pretending or faking to be Christian. And don't be a lover and a believer in Christ out in the world, pretending that you're worldly to fit in. Wherever you truly are in your heart, be that, and be that 100%. Why? Because in the letter to the Laodicean church, in Revelations 3:14, it says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Wherever you are, be hot. If you are in here, if you are in him and you are in church and you are a believer, be hot. Be hot. I mean, turn the heat up. And if not, then be cold, be ice cold. Go on out there in the world. Do what you're going to do. Do it to the fullest, because let me tell you something. There's nothing that God or anybody else can do to help you if you aren't first honest with yourself about who you really are. So don't fake. Don't pretend. Because that will get you nothing except everything you don't want. Hot or cold. Just choose.
Amen. 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 So I'm going to close with this. Jesus gave a lot of parables if you read the four Gospels. But there is only one parable that he explained what the parable meant. Typically, he would just tell people, let he who has an ear understand and go with it. But there was one parable that he felt like he needed to explain. And I'm glad that he did it. And that was the parable of the sower. Yes. In Matthew 13, I am going to read Matthew 18 through 23. I'm going to just do NLT because it'll be easier for some people. But I'm starting at 18 and reading it through 24. And this was his explanation. 18 to 23. This was his explanation of the parable of the sower. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about a farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fell away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing in God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represent those who hear God's word, but are all too quickly the message is crowded by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on ground soil represent those who truly hear and understand God's word and produces a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times as much as has been planted. To get the whole full context, start at chapter 1 and read it down. But the reason I bring that up is depending on where you were at in your life when those seeds were planted, depends on what is going to be produced from the seed. So if you were the rocky ground or off the path or whatever, find yourself some real good soil and let them seeds be replanted. Because at the end of the day, Shonda can't change your heart. I can't change your heart. Your parents, your pastor, your deacon, your bishop, only God can change your heart. And when he plants those seeds on that good soil, you will see the fullness and the return of where you should be. And those people who heard that hell, fire, brimstone message, it was choked away out of them immediately. But let's hope that they and you have found solid ground and fertile soil so that God's word may continue to grow in you. And with that being said, I just want to thank you all for listening to another episode of Road to Damascus, where it's not about the road, it's about the journey. Until next time, thank you for listening. Next time you hear us, it'll be show 100. Let's do this. God bless. We're out.